الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue in the chapter with regards to zakat al-kharij min al-arz, with regards to paying the obligatory charity on that which comes from the earth. On that which comes from the earth. And we have seen the issues related to the hubub wa thimar, the crops, the grains, and the fruits. And likewise, we have seen the issue of the asal, which is the honey, and that the strongest position, and Allah knows best, is that zakat is not obligatory on the honey. That zakat is not obligatory on the honey. Those who have honey farms and the likes like this, it's not obligatory, although it is recommended to give some of that for the sake of Allah whenever they gather it and collect it. Remaining in this chapter are two more affairs, zakat al-ma'din and zakat al-rikaz. And zakat al-rikaz. So we have the issue of al-rikaz. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that al-rikaz huwa dafnu al-jahiliyya. Dafnu al-jahiliyya, ay kanzuha al-madfun fil ardh. That what is intended here by al-rikaz, this is the treasures and those valuables that have been buried by the disbelievers in the times of al-Jahiliyyah before al-Islam, or by the disbelievers in general, the Jews and the Christians and the likes like this, the treasures that are buried that are from the wealth of the non-Muslims. It's called al-rikaz. وَسُمِّيَ بِذَلِكِ لِأَنَّ صَاحِبَهُ رَكَّزَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَيْ أَثْبَتَهُ فِيهَا أَيْ أَثْبَتَهُ فِيهَا. يعني الركاز يعني has similar root with the verb ركز يركز. ركز شيئا في الأرض يعني meaning that he put it in the ground. He dug it in the ground or pushed it into the ground. So what is intended here, الركاز, is called الركاز لأن صاحبه ركزه في الأرض. يعني because the person who owned that treasure, he had dug it and placed it in the ground. He had dug a hole and he had placed it in the ground. So this has a meaning here, any similar to the linguistic understanding. But in the legislation, the rikaz is that which has been mentioned, that these treasures and these valuables that were buried by the disbelievers and then found later by a Muslim. And found later by a Muslim. So the rikaz, the people of knowledge, they mention two types. Nu'ani. The first one, ma'alayhi alamat al-jahiliyyah. Alamat al-jahiliyyah. The first type of rikaz is the one that has the signs of jahiliyyah on it. And the person who will find that treasure, and on that treasure, or somewhere in those valuables, there will be signs of jahiliyyah. Kasul bani. Awur asnami. Wa ma ila dharika. That there will be signs on that treasure, indicating that it's from the disbelievers. Like crosses, for example, or like the inscriptions of idols, or other than that, from the signs that would indicate that this wealth belonged to non-Muslims. This one here is called al-rikaz, and this is what is intended. This is what is intended in this chapter. The one who finds this, he would have to pay zakat on that. The second type is ma alayhi alamatul muslimin. أو لا تظهر عليه علامات الجاهلية فهذه تعتبر لقطة لقطة. The people of knowledge, as I mentioned, the second type is the one that has the signs of Muslims on there. You need the indication that this wealth belonged to Muslims. You need there are some type of signs and the likes like this on this wealth, that this was the wealth of a Muslim. Or there's no signs on it whatsoever. There's no way to identify it. Is it Muslim or not Muslim? Was the owner of this a Muslim or a non-Muslim? So the second type, either it has the sign indicating that this belonged to Muslims, or it does not have any sign or any distinguishing manner to clarify, or any way to distinguish that it is from the Muslims or not. This one, the people of knowledge, they said this is considered luqata. Luqata are those items that are dropped and left behind. Those items that are dropped and left behind, and they have a specific ruling that will come in the chapter of Al-Buyu' insha'Allah. Those items for somebody that are valuable, that somebody lost. Like somebody lost a sheep, for example, and he found another person found it. Or somebody lost some a gold ring, for example, and somebody found it. Or somebody lost a $100 bill, for example, or $1,000, and the likes like this, and somebody found it, a wallet with cash in it. For example, and somebody found it. And somebody who found something valuable that was dropped and lost. That was dropped and lost. This is called al-luqata. And there's a whole chapter for that. That's not included here. That's not included here. So the one that's considered rikaz, the one that has the cat on it, is the one that is from those treasures and valuables that are buried, that have the signs of al-jahiliyyah, signs of the disbelievers on them. And it's verified that this was not the wealth of a Muslim. That this was not, and Allah knows best, the wealth of a Muslim. And according to those signs. According to those signs. So the person who finds this one, there's an obligation to pay zakat on that immediately. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَفِي الرِّكَازِ الْخُمُسِ الرِّكَازِ الْخُمُسِ. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and in the rikaz, there's a khumus. A khumus is a fifth. A fifth of that value. So whatever he found, the value of that, a fifth of that must be given as zakat. And it will be given fawran. It will be given fawran immediately. الواجب الخمس في قليله وكثيره. من غير حول. من غير حول. What is obligatory is to pay a fifth of that wealth, whether it's a large amount or a small amount, without any haul. There's no haul here with regards to the rikaz. Somebody, he found some treasures worth $1,000, for example. I need some diamonds and some jewels, or some old coins of the disbelievers. They're signs of these old coins of the Europeans, for example. And then whenever he found them, he found out that these valuables here, they're worth $1,000. He'll give a fifth of that immediately in zakat. He'll give a fifth of that, is due immediately, without any haul. And Allah knows best. وَفِي الرِّكَازِ الْخُمُسِ. This hadith is mutafiqun alayhi. It's from the hadith the author, he mentioned. Yani in Umdat al-Ahkam, we take them inshaAllah in more detail. Any of those specific narrations whenever we begin reading the book again. Bismillahi ta'ala. So this is al-rikaz. The last issue here is zakat al-ma'din. Zakat al-ma'din. The ma'din, it is the people of knowledge. They say, هو كل ما خرج من الأرض مما يخلق فيها من غيرها. من غيرها. مما له قيمة. مما له قيمة. That the ma'din, what is that? Or the ma'din, what is that? Is everything that's created in the earth that's not from the earth that has value. This is called the ma'din. Yani the things that are created in the earth, they're created in the earth, but they're not from the earth, meaning it's not dirt. There are other elements that are created in the earth that's not dirt, and it's not from the earth, like this, and it has value, like hadith. Al-Hadid and the Yaqut and the likes like this, these things like this, and the Kuhul, these things like this, and the Dhahab, and the Fidda, the gold and the silver, and the iron, and these different ores, and likewise the Nift, the petroleum oil, all of these things are things that are found in the earth. They're created in the earth, and they're not from the earth. They're not dirt. They're created in the earth, and they're found there. And they're valuable. These are those issues. Likewise, as the barjid, what is that? Al-Hajar al-Kareem, huh? As the barjid, from those valuable gems and stones that are found in the earth, and the likes like this, and kibrit. Likewise, this is called phosphorus. The phosphorus, that red stuff they use on the matches, that's valuable. This is found in the earth. And this one is all considered here. From examples of that. So this is what we're discussing now, these affairs here. يعني كل ما خرج من الأرض مما يخلق فيها من غيرها مما له قيمة. So everything that created in the earth, and it's not from the earth, that has value. And it's not from the earth, meaning it's not dirt, it's not sand. It's not sand, but it's like, for example, these valuable stones, or these valuable minerals, or these valuable oils and the likes like this, that they're created in the earth and they're found there and they have value. And they have value. So here, whenever we say ذهب والفضة, gold and silver, we're not talking about the gold and silver like the jewelry. You know, somebody who will find, like, for example, a gold nugget. Or he'll, like, they have mines, that they'll mine for the gold. He'll find the gold in its pure form. He'll find the gold in its original form, or the silver in its original form. Like this, he'll find a piece of that, that he found in the ground, in the dirt, and the likes like this. And he in the earth, he will find it like this. This one is called the ma'din. As for the gold and silver that is belongs to somebody and has been changed into a different form or a piece of silver, this one is different here in the chapter of al-dhahab wal-fidda, correct? Or could be in the chapter of urud al-hijara. We want to distinguish between these. What it's talking about here is those things that you find them. Somebody who will find them. He'll dig in the ground. He'll dig in the mountain. He'll dig in the dirt or in a mine and the likes like this and find valuable materials that are created there, like these affairs mentioned. Like these affairs mentioned. The people of Nar, as they say, that the zakat will be after tasfiyatihi wa sabkihi, after they clean it. And after it's been cleaned and the dirt and the impurities have been removed from it, and then that which is valuable remains, then from this portion here, there's going to be zakat on that. There's going to be zakat on that. With regards to the application, and also it must be known, the people of knowledge, they clarify that these valuables, these ma'adin, they're owned in more than one manner. And there's two aspects of how they will be owned, and with regards to the ownership of them, the one who comes across them. So either this will be from the wealth of a country, for example, or the wealth of an individual. Maybe it will be a country, on the property of a country, and the country, they will find these wealth. The country, it will be from the effort of the government of a particular country. They will come up on oil, or they will come up on gold, or these different ma'adin, and the likes like this. This here, this type here, there's no zakat on that. The one that belongs to a particular government. Because the wealth of a particular government is already for the general population to benefit from. So the wealth of the government is already used in the general benefit of the society. The wealth that the government finds, any particular government, for example, today we find oil. A government will find that they have oil, and they have stores of oil, and they benefit from that. If it's for from the wealth of the government, then there's no zakat on that, because the wealth of the government is already distributed, and the citizens, they already benefit from that. And the government is already maintaining the affairs of the society and the economy of the society and the roads and the businesses and so on and so forth. All of these affairs are under the command and paid for and governed by the government and the financial affairs of the government. So these issues here will not have zakat on them because they belong to the government, and the affairs that belong to the government are already for general benefit and general usage. As for if an individual, he found the likes of these affairs, now there will be zakat on them. An individual, for example, he has land. On his land, he found oil. An individual, he'll pay zakat on that. Any Muslim. Or he found gold, or he found these other items that are valuable. He will pay zakat on that. He was the one who will pay zakat on that. And the people of Nar, as they mentioned likewise, that wallahu alam, with regards to the ma'adin, they must reach the nisab. The qima of them must reach the nisab. Some of the people of knowledge have considered the ma'adin to be like the rikans. Some of them have considered the ma'adin to be like the rikans. And if from looking at it from this aspect, there's no hawl on it. And from the aspect that it's rikans, because it's something that came from the earth. Because it's something that came from the earth. So therefore, there's no hawl on that. And there's no nisab on that, likewise. And then others, they look at it from another aspect that is similar to the gold and the silver. That is similar to the gold and the silver. Because it's something that came from the earth. It has a value like the gold and the silver. Any other aspect of the gold and the silver. So therefore, you will consider it by its value. And if it reached the nisab, then you wait for the hole. And this is what a number of the scholars, they have mentioned with regards to this from them, Sheikh Ibn Baz. And he has mentioned that the person who has the ma'adin, he found the ma'adin that before the zakat, and that it must reach the nisab. And likewise, the hawl must go around that. You need the qima, the value of that much ris than isab. And likewise, this is the position of Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, hafidhahullah ta'ala. Because of the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la zakata fi malin hatta yuhula alayhi al-hawl. And this is a general principle, and from this narration, that there's no zakat on the wealth until the year has passed while it's in the possession of the individual. So with regards to the general understanding of that, then this is the case. And that which one he will give from that is rub' ushur. And this is in considering it to be similar to the zakat of the dhahab and the fidla. You give a quarter of a tenth, any the same amount. As for those who consider it to be like the rikaz, then of course they'll give a fifth. But Allah knows best. And as I mentioned, the position of Shaykh Ibn Bas, Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, is that there's a condition in much ris than nisab, and likewise the whole must go around that, yani on the qima. And then if that's the case, then one, he will pay rub' al-ushur. And this is the last issue with regards to al-amwal al-zakawiyya, yani the last issue that we discuss with regards to al-amwal al-zakawiyya. So we have taken a number of important details with regards to that. Some of these affairs, they may relate to us directly, any from these amwal al-zakawiyya, from these rulings, especially with regards to the currency, the gold and the silver, and the issue of the currency, and the likes that was mentioned there, and also especially with the issues of the items that are prepared for selling. But maybe many of us, the issues of the animals and the rulings related to there will not specifically be applied for them in their lifetime, and likewise for the crops. But the benefit that we have from that, even if we were not to apply this affair, is to know the great details of our religion and to have greater insight into the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see the perfection of that and the completion of that, and that there's nothing that comes up or goes down, and if there's nothing that comes up from the ground or goes down from the sky, except there's a law for that, there's a ruling for that, and that Allah, He is the provider and He is the sustainer, and He sends the rain from the sky and He causes the seeds to split, and there's not a seed that splits except there's a law for that. Is there zakat in that or not? Is there an obligation for a person to pay for that or not? And if so, how much, and when, and how, and to who? And all of these affairs have been clarified in great detail. And likewise, Allah, He created the animals and provide for them. And He clarified the law with regards to that. Some of them, there's a zakat in that, an obligatory charity for those who have them. And others, there's not. So this is a clarification of the beauty of al-Islam and the perfection of al-Islam. And just as Allah Azza wa Jal, He has mastered the creation, أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ, He mastered everything that He created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, He has mastered the legislation. The legislation is the legislation of the Most Wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُسِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. نعم. That this is the law of Allah, it's mastered. It's mastered, and He is the Most Wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we begin the issue now, which is also very important, definitely related to anyone who will be paying zakat, and it is the issue of ahlu zakat. Ahlu zakat. Man huwa ahlun li yu'ta al-zakat. Who is the one who is qualified? Who is qualified to receive the zakat? So this issue here, the people of knowledge, they have considered ahlu al-zakat. Ahlu al-zakat. The word ahl here, what does it mean? It means mustahiq. Yani mustahiqu al-zakat. Those people who deserve zakat. And this is a benefit here that sometimes a person, maybe he will learn the Arabic language, and he will, if he's not careful, he will not realize the richness of the language. And that one word could have a number of meanings, and they change according to the context. So the word ahl, many times a person, as he's learning, he will learn that means family. Ahl, ahl, kayfa ahluka. And from the first things a person learning the Arabic language, he will learn the likes of this. That ahl, it means family. Yani, qu anfusikum wa ahlikum nara. And it means that. But in other contexts, it means something else. In other contexts, it means something else. So if somebody was embarking upon his translation and he was not aware of the different contexts and the different usages of the Arabic language, maybe he would misinterpret or mistranslate any some of the words. So it's important to not only learn the vocabulary, but also the usage, and to know that one word could have a number of meanings. And the people of knowledge, they mention that the affair that determines the different meanings is siyaq al-jumla, the context of the sentence. Siyaq al-jumla yuhaddidu ma'ani al-alfaz. يُحَدِّدُ مَعَانِيَ الْأَلْفَاظِ. This is very important, especially with regards to learning Creed and Aqidah. Rather, this is from the first principles that one will learn in studying the Asma and the Sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Asma wa Sifat. The Siyaq al-Jumla يُحَدِّدُ مَعَانِيَ الْأَلْفَاظِ. That the context of the sentence, it determines the meaning of the words. So in any case here, أهل الزكات, أهل here, يعني somebody, you say, فلان أهل للزواج. فلان أهل للزواج. يعني meaning that he is qualified for marriage. So-and-so is ahlun for marriage. And he's not the family of marriage. Ahlun lil-karam. Like this, he's qualified for this affair. So, yani ahl also, yani from the verb ta'ahala. Ta'ahala means to become qualified. It means to become qualified. So therefore, before he goes to translate the words, labudda yata'ahal. He has to become qualified. And so in any case, what do they mean here? Whenever the scholars, they say, أهل الزكاة, أي مستحقوا الزكاة. الذين يستحقونها. أهل الزكاة, يعني مستحقوا الزكاة. مستحقوا الزكاة. Also, they have another term they use. They say, مصارف الزكاة. مصارف الزكاة. يعني from the مصرف. يعني the مصرف. And what is intended here? الجهات التي تصرف فيها الزكاة. يعني الجهات التي تصرف فيها الزكاة. يعني the people that the zakat will be given to. يعني it means the same thing. المستحقون لها. المستحقون لها. So maybe they'll say أهل الزكاة. Or maybe they say مصارف الزكاة. Or maybe they'll say أسناف. أسناف أهل الزكاة. Asnaf ahl al-zakat. Also, this is a term that is used. Or they'll say al-asnaf al-thamaniyah, even more specific. So what is intended by the asnaf? Yani the categories of people that are qualified for zakat. All of these terms here, they have the same meaning in the end. Yani al-asnaf al-thamaniyah, al-ladina yastahiquna al-zakat. Al-ladina yastahiquna al-zakat. The eight categories of people, that deserve to receive the zakat. And this is very important, because if somebody gave the zakat to somebody who does not deserve it, it will not be accepted. It will not be accepted. Even if he did that upon ignorance, he didn't know. He gave it to somebody, he had $1,000 in zakat. He gave it to somebody, he thought he deserved it. Come to find out, he didn't deserve it. That $1,000 will be charity, sadaqah. Sadaqah, yani nafilah, tatawwa. It would be a free charity, a voluntary charity, and he will still have to pay $1,000 zakat. And he will still have to pay this $1,000 zakat. The obligation of zakat will not be removed unless you give it to the right people. So this part here is very important. And for the completion of the zakat, a person, now we learned about how, when the zakat comes and how it comes and who it's upon. So now the one who knows that he has zakat, now he has to know where to put it. He has to put it in the right place, in the hands of the right people. يعني, and that is, يعني, هذه الأسناف الثمانية. الأسناف الذين تدفع إليهم الزكاة. And they are the categories of people that it's allowed and accepted to give them the zakat. So there are eight of them. And they're mentioned in the book of Allah in Surah At-Tawbah, in the very famous verse and words of Allah Azza wa Jal, إنما صدقات للفقراء. والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله والله عليم حكيم. So there are eight of them here. Allah, he mentioned that the sadaqat, and what is intended by sadaqat here? Az-zakat. We have seen the word zakat is used in the text yani directly as zakat, and what is intended by that? The obligatory charity, the third pillar of Islam. It will be called zakat. Other times, the word sadaqah will be used. And what is intended by that? The third pillar of Islam. That's zakat. And other times, the word nafaqah will be used. Yani, and their derivatives, huh? Will be used. And what is intended by that? The third pillar of Islam, as zakat. So this is the case. So what is intended here? Innama sadaqat. Yani, zakat. That zakat is only for al-fuqara. the poor, والمساكين, the needy, والعاملين عليها, and those who work in collecting and gathering and storing and protecting the zakat, والمؤلفة قلوبهم, and those who we want to soften their hearts and bring them close to Islam, or to not harm the believers, or to strengthen their faith, and the likes like this. وفي الرقاب, and in freeing slaves. والغارمين, and those who have debts, and in paying the debts. وفي سبيل الله, and in the path of Allah. وابن السبيل, and the wayfarer, and the wayfarer. فريضة من الله, an obligation from Allah. والله عليم حكيم, and Allah, He is the all-knowledgeable and the most wise. And Allah, He is the all-knowledgeable and the most wise. So these are the al-asnaf al-thamaniyah. And these are ahl-zakat. These are masarif al-zakat. Like this. These are the people that deserve the zakat. And then it's allowed to give them the zakat. And if a person, he gave the zakat to them, it will be accepted from him. If he gave it to somebody else, it will not be accepted from him. This is important. So we study each one of these, inshallah, in brief detail. But before that, there are a few any issues to know. The scholars that say, وَلَا يَجِبُ تَعْمِيمُ الْأَسْنَافِ ثَمَانِيَةً. It's not obligatory for somebody. He's got to pay zakat, to give his zakat to all of them. To give the zakat to all of them. It's not an obligation that all eight categories of people receive the zakat from one person, or from the people. Rather, it would suffice to give it to one of them. And it's allowed to give it to a number of them. It's allowed to, for example, to give some to a poor person and the rest of it to pay a debt. And along with the details that we take, inshallah. But it's not an obligation to give everybody the zakat. And it's allowed to give one, and everybody, meaning all one from every category. It's not an obligation to do that. And it's allowed to give only one category of people the zakat, and it's allowed to separate it amongst them. And the issue here that determines this will go back to the maslaha, that which is most important. It's allowed. But this is going to go back, al-hakim fi hadha al-maslaha. Al-maslaha. And then what was going to determine which one should do, it will be that which is most beneficial for the poor people. So now we discuss this here. And so it's not allowed to give it to other than them. It's not allowed to give it to other than them. So these people, they're going to have specific qualities. They're going to have specific characteristics, and there's details under each one, and this is the case. So Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He began with al-fuqara wal-masakin, and these are two categories, but they're very similar. Al-fuqara wal-masakin. The fuqara, they're considered the poor, and the masakin, they're considered the needy. There's an issue that gathers them together. And that is that they لا يجدون كفاية السنة. لا يجدون كفاية السنة. لهم وليمن يعولون. They do not find enough wealth to suffice them for the whole year. Them and their families. Them and those under their care. So both of them are like this. The faqir and the miskin, both of them do not have enough to suffice them their whole year. Enough for them and those under their care. Enough for them and those under their care. So when we're talking about the faqir and the miskin, we're talking about the one who does not have enough to suffice him. But whenever we say him, we're not just meaning him himself, we're meaning him and everybody who he has to spend on. Him and everyone that it's an obligation for him to spend on. If he has a wife, it's obligatory for him to spend on her. If he has two, three, four wives, it's an obligation for him to spend on them. If he has sons, if he has daughters, it's an obligation for him to spend on him. He has other people under his care. He has children from his wife has children, for example, or he has people that are adopted. They're people that under his care that they are waiting for him to spend on them. He's their guardian. He's their guardian. Even people that have their parents, their mom and dad living with them. They're old, for example, and now they're living with them under his care. These are all people under his care. So he has to have enough for himself and for them. Huh? If he has enough for himself and from them, he's not considered miskin nor faqir. But the one who does not have enough for himself and for them for the whole year, then this person, he's considered either faqir or miskin. And so we understand now the general issue of the the fuqara wal masakin, what is it that brings them together? They will not have enough for them and their families, those under their care, for one whole year. For one whole year. So there's a difference between the two. One of them is more severe than the other. So the fuqara, they're more severe than the masakin. So to summarize briefly, the fuqara, they do not have enough for, they do not find, either they have nothing, they have none under their needs, he's considered faqir. Or even if he has something, he has less than half what he needs for the whole year. He has less than half what he needs for the whole year. And so he would look at his year. How much does he spend in the year? How much does it require for him and his family to fulfill their needs? For him to pay his rent and for him to pay his electricity and his water and his food and his drink and everything that is required for living, the essentials of life. Then he will look for what is it required for a year. Maybe a person, he will look from month to month and add that up. This month, and generally every month, how much does it require for him and his family? He needs 7,000, for example, to pay everything for his family and to get by. So then he will multiply that by 12, and this is what he needs for the year. If he has half of that or less, he's considered faqir. If you look at what he's supposed to have and what he needs to have, and he has less, this person, he's considered faqir. As for the one who has half or more, but he doesn't have what he needs. He has half or more of his yearly needs, but he doesn't have what he needs total. He's considered miskin. Maybe you have more than a half. Maybe he has 2/3, for example, but he doesn't have all that he needs. He's still, in the end, he's coming up short. This person's considered miskin. So this is the general understanding that we want to see with regards to this. So both of them are needy. One of them is more severe than the other. And it goes back to the faqir. Either he doesn't have nothing, that's very clear. Or he has something, but it's only half of what he needs for the whole year. Like this. This is what he has. And we'll see what that means. This is what he has, either in his possession or by way of earning. And the likes like this, all these details will come, inshallah, just to separate between the two. Then the one who has half or more than what he needs, but not all what he needs, he's considered miskin. So his situation is a little bit better, although he's still needy. So this is what, and he gathers it together. Adamu kifayat as-sana lahum wa liman ya'ulun. And if they don't have what is sufficient for them to get by, to fulfill all of their basic needs for themselves and those under their care for an entire year. So we begin with the first one, al-fuqara. We began with them, and Allah, He began with them. And what we just mentioned here, that the faqir, he's more needy than the miskin. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention the miskin is more needy than the faqir. There's a difference of opinion about this. But Allah knows best what is best, and what is the correct opinion is that this is the issue here. The faqir, he's more needy than the miskin. Also, this is whenever they're mentioned together. So these are from those terms, the people of knowledge, they say those alfaz, إذا اجتمعت افترقت. With افترقت, اجتمعت. It's from those terms that if they're mentioned together in one context, they have separate meanings. And if they're mentioned alone, each one individually, then they have the same meaning. So if we see the word faqir mentioned by itself, then it would have the meaning of miskin. Unless there is any evidence in the context to clarify what is intended. And likewise, the miskin, whenever it's mentioned by itself, what is intended is the faqir, yani those people that don't have enough. They don't have enough, unless there's some type of evidence to clarify the difference. But in general, this is the case. Whenever they're mentioned together, they have different meanings. The faqir is more in need than the miskin. But although both of them do not have what they need for the year, any for themselves and their family. And whenever they're mentioned any alone in some context, then one of them will carry the meaning of the other one, unless there is some evidence in the context that indicates likewise. We took other terms like this. Islam wa iman, bir wa taqwa, miskin wa faqir, like this. So these are from those terms. This is from those terms. So the faqir, here Allah, He says, innama sadaqatu lil fuqara. Fuqara is the plural of a faqir, and it's from al-faqar. It's from al-faqar. Wal-faqar dhiddu al-ghina. It's the opposite of wealth, and poverty. So al-faqar, it means poverty. It means poverty. And we have seen who he is. He's the one who does not have anything, or he has something, but it's not enough to suffice him. Yani for at least half of the year. He has less than half of the year. His needs for less than half of the year. He has his needs for less than half of the year. So either he has nothing, or he has his needs up to any less than half of the year. He's considered faqir. He's considered thaqir. And with regards to this affair, yani the majority of the scholars, they have considered the year like this. And they look at it by way of the year, because the zakat generally is paid yearly. The zakat generally is paid yearly. So therefore they consider yani the person's status according to a yearly schedule. For example, somebody might say, why don't you look at him for the month? Or somebody want to have what he needs for the month. Or somebody does, like he looks at him in from this aspect of the year. Somebody who doesn't have what he needs in the year. Because the year is yani generally the manner that the zakat is performed. It's performed yearly. And this is the position of many of the scholars. From them the Hanabila and the Malikiyah. And it's a statement of some of the Shafi'iyah. And this is also the position of Shaykh Ibn Baz and Uthaymeen and Shaykh Suleiman al-Ruhaydi rahimahumullahu jami'an. That what we consider here to determine somebody being poor or not is by looking at his yearly finances. So here, yani somebody, maybe he has some money, maybe he has a job, maybe he has a home, maybe he has a family, but he's still considered faqir. And those under him, they're considered fuqara. They're considered fuqara because they although they have a place to live, or they have a vehicle to ride, or maybe they have some type of income, it's not even half of what they need. It's not even half of what they need to suffice them for the whole year. So they're considered faqir. So they're considered, this person here is considered faqir. So then how much would he be given? If we establish that he's in faqar, that he's from those who are considered fuqara, how much will we give him? We look at him, how much do you need for the year, and give him that, or we look at him and his family. Again, him and his family, him and those underneath his care. We look at him and those underneath his care. How much does he need for himself to support himself and his family for 1 year? And he, without extravagance, without going into luxuries, what do they need for survival? What do they need for ends to meet, for their bills to be paid, for them to have the food that they need to survive, and the clothing they need to survive, and the likes like this, any of the basic needs. Not talking about luxury, huh? But the basic needs, they will be given that much. Any, this is ideally. Ideally, in a Muslim country, under a Muslim society, whenever the ruler, he is collecting the zakat, and the likes like this, and the government has authority, then this is what is suggested. And this is the proper way, that the poor person, he'll be given what he needs for the year. He'll be given what he needs for him and his family for the year. You understand that? This is also from the beauty of Islam. And he meaning he will not be poor anymore. He will not be poor anymore. He'll say, for example, he's got half, or a little less than half. Then how much does he need for the whole year? He said 100,000. Man, I only got 50,000. He'll be given the rest. He'll be given the rest to support him for the rest of the year, him and his family. Him and his family. So what is considered is his food, his drink, his residence, yani his rent, if he rents, and the likes like this, his clothing. Even included in this likewise, the people of knowledge, they mentioned al-i'faf. Al-i'faf biz-zawaj. And these are all things that are considered. Yani that he will be given from the aspect of the fact that he's poor. And he's in need of his clothing, he's in need of his food, he's in need of his drink, he's in need of his residence. This is the main things that people think of right away, right? So if he has less than half of this, he's considered faqir. He'll be given the other half, or whatever he needs accordingly. Likewise, if he does not have enough to get married, and he needs to get married, also the zakat can be given to him. For example, if there is a young man, he has everything he needs. He has his rent paid, he has his bills paid, he has food and drink. That part is good, but he doesn't have enough to get married. He needs a mahar. And he needs other than things like for marriage. Then he can be given the zakat. From this aspect, he's considered He's considered needy and in need, and he can receive the zakat. So he has all of these things, but he doesn't have these things. He doesn't have enough to get married. So he'll be given enough for a mahr. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he says, حَتَّى وَلَوْ كَانَ كَثِيرًا He'll be given enough to pay the mahr, even if it was expensive. And even if it was considered a lot of wealth, so long as it's not extravagant or luxurious. And if, for example, if somebody, he needs to get married and he needed $5,000 for the mahr. He needed $5,000 for the mahr. And this is a normal mahr in the land that he lives in. Average. Like, he'll be given that from the zakat. And this is allowed. He can take that. Even if he has a job, even if he pays his rent, even if he has food. He has everything that he needs except enough to get married. So now he's given that from zakat. Zakat covers that. Zakat will cover that, and it's allowed to give to him. And Allah knows best. He'll give him as much as he needs, so long as there's no extravagance or luxury. And some people, they go to extremes in the mahr, which is a foul way and a sign of ignorance, a sign of great ignorance, and also a sign of failure, and many times a reason for great disputes to occur in the household. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it would be something easy and something simple. And this is a sign of goodness and a means for a blessing in the marriage. But the point is now that a person, even if he had his needs met, but he would not have enough, he has the need to get married, he doesn't have enough for that, the zakat could be given to him. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they mention someone else similar like that. For example, a student of knowledge. A student of knowledge, for example, maybe he has all of his needs met, but there are particular books that he needs. And he has his bills paid, for example. He has his food and his provision for him and his family. But there's particular books that he needs. And he needs them for seeking knowledge. Not to build a library, but in any specific books that he's in need of with regards to his studies. It's allowed to give him the money for those books from the zakat. And what are we talking about now? Those people who is allowed to give them zakat. If you give them the zakat will be accepted. And somebody could give charity to a poor person or to a rich person. He could give a gift. He could give charity to a poor person and a gift to a rich person. This is allowed. We're not talking about that. We're talking about who you can give zakat to, and if you do, it will be accepted from you. You understand that? This is the point here. So we're going to save the questions for the end. Barakallahu fikum. Save the questions for the end. So again, the people of knowledge, as I mentioned, a student of knowledge. For example, he has his bills made, his bills paid. He's not needy from this aspect, but he's in need of particular books. People of knowledge, not in order to build him some nice library. Not to build him some nice, oh, this book is nice to have, this book is nice to have, this book. No, there are particular issues that he needs, books that he needs for his studies. And the likes like this, it will be allowed to give him from this aspect. And Allah knows best. And this is also from the fatwa of Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and also mentioned by a number of the people of knowledge from them, Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned, if you're allowed to give for the nourishment for the body, then how about the nourishment of the soul? Yani he needs these affairs in order for to complete his studies. And this is something that people of knowledge, they mention. It has come in Ar-Rawd al-Murbi'. Ar-Rawd al-Murbi' is one of the explanations of Zad al-Mustaqni' from the Fiqh al-Hanbali. And this particular work, it has a beneficial commentary by Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Qasim, rahimahullah al-Najdi, rahimahullah, and he has some commentary on this. In that text, it's mentioned that a person, وَإِن تَفَرَّقَ خَادِرٌ عَلَى التَّكَسُّبْ لِلْعِلْمِ لَا لِلْعِبَادَةِ وَتَعَذَّرَ الْجَمْعُ أُعْطِيَهِ. Yani, he mentioned that if a person, he was able to earn a living. He's able to earn a living. This is also considered in the chapter of zakat. And the fact that he's able to earn a living. So this is considered. Would he be considered poor or not? He don't have no money, but he's strong and he's healthy. Would he be considered poor or not? And if he has the ability to earn, then this is going to be considered. We wouldn't say, oh, he's poor. We say, no, he's lazy. He's lazy. The point now, and we'll talk about that, inshallah, in more detail as well. But the point now is here they say, the people of Allah, they say, if a person who is able to earn a living, he freed himself up for seeking knowledge, not for ibadah. He's freed himself up to seek knowledge, and he dedicated all of his time and efforts to seeking knowledge, not for ibadah, not for ibadah, and it's not able for him to gather between earning a living and seeking knowledge at the same time, then he can be given from the zakat. Then he could be given from the zakat. Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Qasim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, أي تأذر الجمع بين التكسب والاشتغال بالعلم أعطي من الزكاة بقدر حاجته لاشتغاله بالعلم. And meaning that the person who is not able to gather between seeking knowledge and seeking a living, and he is completely engaged and occupied in learning and teaching, then it's allowed to give him from the zakat according to his needs. According to his needs, because of him being preoccupied and busy with the knowledge. بخلاف العبادة, this is contrary to worship. بخلاف العبادة, contrary to worship. And he said, والفرق بين العلم والعبادة تعدي العلم وقصور العبادة. And the difference between the knowledge and ibadah is the fact that the person who is engaged in knowledge, then he will be benefiting himself and others, and those who are engaged in worship, they're only benefiting themselves. Based upon that, if we were to see an individual, we know him, and he's from those people that love, what is known from him is that he's dedicated to worship. He's from those people who are devoted to the obligations and even the non-obligatory affairs. And he's from those who love to fast and love to stand in the prayer and the likes like this. And he said that, you know what, I want to fast every other day, the fast of Dawood. And I want to stand in the night prayer all night long. And if I do this, I'll be so tired I will not be able to earn a living properly, so I can take from the zakat. What will we say about that? This is not allowed. This is not allowed. This is the point that he made here. لِلْعِلْمِ لَا الْعِبَادَةِ. He'll be given for the sake of knowledge, if he's busy with knowledge, not if he's busy with ibadah. Because the knowledge, he will benefit others, and the ibadah will only benefit himself. And the origin is that a person, he will seek a living. That is that he will seek a living. He will earn his own livelihood. That he will work with his hand, and that he will learn a trade, and he'll be busy and to earn the living for himself and for his family, and seek the aid and the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. The only reason it's allowed here to seek knowledge is because that this person, if he's going to devote himself entirely, then this will definitely get in the way. And the one who truly wants to benefit from knowledge, and the people of knowledge, they say, إِذَا أَعْطَيْتَهُ كُلَّكَ أَعْطَاكَ بَعْضَهُ. That the knowledge, if you give knowledge all of yourself, it'll only give you some of it. And so the knowledge requires like true dedication. True dedication. The people of knowledge, they wake up with knowledge and go to sleep with knowledge. And all between that, there's knowledge. And those who are true, and in their search for knowledge. And then in between that, they do nothing but benefit the people. From the greatest examples of that is Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. He spent the last 49 years, 6 days a week, and he was almost never absent, teaching in the Prophet's masjid every day after Maghrib. Teaching the sunnah of the Prophet and spreading al-aqidah salafiyah. And his whole life was in knowledge. And all throughout the day, he's reviewing and preparing for the class. And all throughout the day, he's reviewing and preparing for the class. And then after that, it's class time, clarifying the affairs and benefiting the ummah in this manner like this. And to be sincere in that. And I say that this is an example. And likewise, his son as well, Sheikh Abdul Razak, also busy with knowledge all day and all night. All day and all night. If we look likewise, our Sheikh Suleiman al-Rahili, great examples, busy with knowledge. He just did a Dora in Kuwait a couple of months ago. Now he's back in Kuwait. Before he went last time, he was in a Dora in Riyadh. And then after that, he went from there to Kuwait. And then he came back. And he teaches 6 days a week in Masjid al-Nabawi. So they're busy with knowledge. And they're busy with benefiting the people. And they're bearing the harms of the ummah and the likes like this. And there's great benefit in that. So from this aspect, any of those who are in need, those who are in need, they'll be given. And if he has some type of someone to support him, and he does not need, then he will not be given. We're talking about giving zakat and being able to accept the zakat. And this is very, very important to realize. And helping the students of knowledge, this is something that is in great, great need. And to support them and to free them up. To free them up so that they can dedicate themselves to learning properly and to teaching properly. This is something that we need, especially in the societies in America. But along with that, also those people who are going to think about this, they need to be very careful. Because there are many people who ascribe to seeking knowledge, and they are troublemakers. And they are not really strong and diligent in that. And they're already wasting their time before they have money. And they're already causing much trouble before they have somebody supporting them. And if they were to be supported, they'll only be a means to bring more fitna and more trials. And many times this is the case. Wallahu al-musta'an. So to support a student of knowledge, this is something praiseworthy and good. But make sure you know him. Make sure you know him. Make sure you've seen from him good manners and conduct, good creed and methodology, and also you know from him diligence. And what is apparent from him and what is in the hearts of the people is with Allah. But what is apparent from them is that they are sincere and truthful. If you see one like this, you support him. You help him. If you can send him to Egypt to learn the Arabic language, you send him. If he's already there, give him money. Give him money even from your zakat if you can. Even not from the zakat, from the charity. And my point now is to not only about the zakat, he can receive zakat. Don't help them. To help them. And this is something that's very, very, very important. And the different masajid, they need to realize this. The different masajid, they need to realize this. And alhamdulillah, they should take Masjid al-Tawheed as an example. Because this is something that this masjid has been aware of, apparently. Supporting the students of knowledge until they're free. Until they're free to take care of and to handle the problems of society. Doing marriage and doing divorce and doing counseling and teaching and educating the youth and the elders. Any of these things require time and require effort, preparation. One class maybe requires 7 hours of preparation, reading. And the likes like this, so depending on the subject, depending on the topic, or somebody he needs a fatwa, somebody he needs an issue, and maybe you have to look for his issue and dig and find the ruling for him, and it will be taking time and taking effort, and the likes like this. So these affairs need to be established. And if they are, you'll find much good in that community. Alhamdulillah, like we have seen here. So my point is now, these other masajid, they need to realize this. Many people, they build masajid, and then they say, we need an imam. We need an imam. No, you need to provide that. They need to work, and they need to send somebody who appears to be truthful to them, and who appears to be honest from them and diligent to them, and send him to go learn, and pay for him to go learn, and help him to go learn. And when he comes back, to support him likewise so that he can teach. And every community needs this. Some people right now, they're contacting me, and they're saying, oh, do you know anybody who can be an imam? And they can't support him. They want a man to come back and be an imam in their community and lead them in prayer 5 times a day and give them a khutbah and then teach them in between that and then do all of the other requirements that's upon him and also go to work and get his own money and pay for his own rent. This is very difficult in these days. This is very difficult in these days. So the fact that a person, he will dedicate himself to that, then you take care of that and then he will bring good to the community. But the point is now, again, going back to the foul issue of this, is that some people, they want that. And if that ever appears from somebody, he will be left. He will be left. They want that. They want to have money. So to take money from the people in order to teach, this is allowed. But to teach in order to get money, this is haram and foul. Haram and foul. So to be able to distinguish between this is very important. This is very important. If you find one that appears that he's going to go learn, and that he's diligent in learning, and that he applies what he learns, and it's seen in his manners and conduct, and then he comes back, then you take care of him. You help him. Somebody has to be free from mixing with the people. Somebody has to be free from being tried by the trials of life. Somebody has to be free from that so he can be the one to remind. So he can be the one to admonish. So that he can be the one to research. So he can be the one to teach. So that he can be somebody in this society, especially, we have to free individuals up for this. Free individuals up for this, that they will be able to admonish us. They will be able to remind us. They will be able to teach us. They'll be able to educate us. They'll be able to cultivate us. This is something we have to think about, especially in America, especially in our societies. In this state, in that state, even in here, the brothers in Atlanta, they have masajid, but you need to have an imam. You need to have an imam. You have to be able to take care of him. You have to be able to free him up so he can be your imam. You can't expect him to be the imam and he's going to do all of these responsibilities and at the same time he's going to go out here and he's going to go out here and he's searching for a living. This is very difficult, especially in these days, especially in these lands. Especially in these days and especially in these lands. So Allah knows best those people who are truthful, they're few. But if we find them, we take care of them. This is my point. We take care of them and we help them. And we support them. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he died in the year 181. One time he was reprimanded by the people. They said, we always see you giving your charity and sending your zakat to all these faraway lands, and you never take care of the people here. You never take care of the people here. He says, I know people in this land and in that land that if they were to not have any provision, then the sunnah would die and the people would remain in ignorance. So I send it over there because they are the people that support their religion. And so he would put his money in the proper place. And those lands were in the hands of people that would benefit the ummah. And this is something to recollect and to realize. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.